in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
听众朋友们，大家好，欢迎您收听美国之音。下面为您播报这一时段的国际新闻。美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期天表示，美国准备好支持、推进和参与阿富汗政府与塔利班的直接谈判。同一天，阿富汗总统加尼宣布了一项新的停火计划的细节。蓬佩奥在一份声明中说，美国欢迎阿富汗政府宣布在塔利班参与的条件下的停火计划。这项计划是对阿富汗人民明确和继续要求和平做出的回应。声明还说，阿富汗前一次的停火展现了阿富汗人民要求结束冲突的深切愿望。我们希望再一次停火能将这个国家进一步达至持久的安全。星期天早些时候，加尼宣布政府单方面有条件与塔利班停火三个月。几个小时之前，当局证实这个伊斯兰主义反叛武装侵入了北部的一个地区，并显然俘虏了几十名政府军士兵。加尼说，政府军星期一将停止军事行动，条件是反叛分子也采取对等的行动，尊重他提出的停火计划。这次停火正值世界各地穆斯林人庆祝古尔邦节之时。穆斯林人每年这个时候到圣城麦加朝圣，纪念先知伊布拉辛向真主安拉献祭的事件。针对加尼做出的停火建议，塔利班没有立即做出回应。在另外一方面，来自世界各地的大约200万穆斯林已经在伊斯兰最神圣的地点沙特阿拉伯的麦加开始了一年一度的朝圣活动。朝圣者星期天围绕着麦加大寺院中心的方形圣堂逆时针行走，开始了今年为期5天的朝圣活动。穆斯林人认为，先知亚布拉辛在那里修建了他的第一座寺院。世界各地的穆斯林会面朝麦加圣堂，每天做5次祷告。在朝圣期间，虔诚的穆斯林人会举行一系列的宗教仪式。除了围绕圣堂行走之外，他们还会喝被认为具有治愈效果的来自肾肾泉的碱水，并举行向恶魔投石的象征性的仪式。麦加朝圣是伊斯兰信仰5大支柱之一，所有力所能及的穆斯林人一生中应至少一次参与朝圣。沙特阿拉伯主管相关事务的部门敦促朝圣者注意安全，以免发生往年出现过的致命的踩踏事件。2015年，米纳市在举行朝圣活动时发生的踩踏事件，导致2400多人死亡。沙特有关部门星期天敦促兄弟姐妹朝圣者注意各项仪式的时间，以免出现过于拥挤的危险。几十名年迈的韩国人星期天聚集在朝韩边界，准备与居住在朝鲜的家庭成员团聚。这是3年多来朝韩首轮家庭团聚的一部分。超过57000名韩国人已经登记，希望与居住在朝鲜的亲人进行会面，但是只有93人被选中参与星期一开始的在朝鲜旅游胜地金刚山举行的最新一轮短暂家庭团聚。朝鲜方面只有88人被允许参加这次的团聚。在未来3天内，亲属们将在朝鲜当局人员的注视下举行6次面对面的团聚。自从2000年以来，双方只安排了20次亲人团聚的活动，上一次团聚是在2015年的10月。数以百万计的朝鲜家庭被1950至1953年的朝鲜战争拆散，分开50多年后，许多等待与亲人团聚的人已经去世，依然在世的许多人已经年过80岁。一些韩裔美国人也在最渴望与家人团聚的人之列，但是他们从来没有被纳入团聚的计划当中。韩国官员曾经试图将韩裔美国家庭纳入星期一开始的韩朝家庭团聚计划，但被平壤当局拒绝。以上就是这一时段的国际新闻，感谢您的收听。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中，我们重点学习了用什么语言接受或拒绝对方给你的选择。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mike Epstein. Mr. Epstein is at a trade show in Florida. He is talking to us by phone. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello, Elizabeth.
How's the weather down there?
Warm and sunny, as always.
Last time we listened to your conversation at Mr. Blake's hotel, when Mr. Blake first met Ms. Graham.
Yes, after that we went from his hotel to the restaurant.
Was it a nice restaurant?
Yes, it was nice, but not too formal. We wanted a comfortable place to discuss business.
Today, we're going to listen to your conversation with the waiter at the restaurant.
Okay.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, I think we're all ready. I'll have the large green salad.
And what kind of dressing would you like?
Just oil and vinegar, please.
Okay.
Which do you recommend, Ms. Graham? The seafood sauté or the pesto pasta?
Do you like rich sauces?
Yes, very much, but I'm watching my weight.
I understand. I suggest the pesto pasta. It has olive oil and no cream.
Good idea. And I'll also take a small salad with the low-fat Italian dressing.
I'll have the small green salad and the New York steak, medium rare.
And what dressing would you like?
I'd like blue cheese dressing.
Thank you.
Listening 练习，请大家注意听老师给我们示范做一些词句代换。
Are you ready to order?
Can I take your order?
I'll have the large green salad.
I'd like the large green salad.
What kind of dressing would you like?
What kind of dressing would you prefer?
I suggest the pesto pasta.
I recommend the pesto pasta.
下面我们结束对 Epstein 先生的采访。
They seem to have a nice variety of food at that restaurant.
Yes, they do. They have a lot of choices.But I always order the steak. It's always very good.
After you ordered, you began discussing business.
That's right.
We'll listen to those business discussions on our next show. Thank you very much for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, we have an email question about American restaurants. The question is, when I go to an American restaurant, why does the waitress ask me a lot of questions? Why are there so many choices?
That's a very important question because it is part of the larger issue of choice in American culture. For most Americans, having choices is a kind of freedom.Most Americans don't want to be exactly the same as everyone else.
They want to be individuals.
That's right. So Americans like to have a lot of choices when they go to a restaurant.
Can you give an example?
Sure. When you go to a restaurant in the United States, the waiter or waitress will ask you what kind of dressing you want on your salad. You may be able to choose from 5 or 6 different dressings.
That many?
Yes, the more choices, the better. You know, as an American, I sometimes feel strange when I go to restaurants in other countries.
Why?
In many foreign restaurants, you don't have a lot of choices. For example, everyone has the same salad dressing. Maybe I don't like that kind of salad dressing.
Gary, that's very important information. After the show, why don't we go out for a salad and discuss it some more?
Great idea. As long as we go to a place that has blue cheese dressing. I only eat blue cheese dressing.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Excuse me, could I order now? I'm in a little bit of a hurry.
Certainly. Would you like to start with some coffee?
No, thanks. Could I have some orange juice?
Sure. Large, medium, or small?
Medium, please. And I'll have the one egg and toast special.
Okay. How would you like your egg?
Sunny side up, please.
And what kind of toast would you like? White, whole wheat, or rye?
Whole wheat, please.
And would you like butter or jam on your toast?
Neither. I'd like it plain.
Very good. I'll be right back with your orange juice.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about making choices in restaurants. In American restaurants, you have many choices. Waiters will often ask you questions such as, what would you like? What kind would you like? And how would you like it prepared? The choices are usually listed on the menu. Or you can ask, what are my choices? Or what kind do you have? The waiter or waitress will often offer you some choices, as in today's business dialogue. The waiter first asks the customer if she would like to start with some coffee. She refuses, using the expression, no thanks.
Would you like to start with some coffee?
No thanks.
When she asks for orange juice, he offers her three choices, large, medium, or small.
Could I have some orange juice?
Sure. Large, medium, or small?
Medium, please.
Saying please makes her response more polite. After she orders her egg, the waiter offers her three kinds of toast.
And what kind of toast would you like? White, whole wheat, or rye?
Whole wheat, please.
And then he offers her butter or jam for her toast.
And would you like butter or jam on your toast?
Neither. I'd like it plain.
She says neither. This is a short way to say, I don't want either butter or jam. I hope today's tips will help you the next time you go to an American restaurant.
本星期第二课重点讲解怎样重申或明确自己对对方的理解。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham.Ms. Graham is in her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello, Elizabeth.
You said last time that Mr. Blake made a good first impression.
Yes, he did.
Then why were you concerned about doing business with him?
Well, I knew that the quality of his robots was very high. But I also was concerned about what could happen after we bought the robots. What if there were mechanical problems after the robots were installed in our plant?
Why were you concerned?
Well, Mr. Blake's company is based in China. How could they give us the kind of after-sales service we need?
So you were primarily concerned about after-sales service?
That's right, about service and support. Mr. Blake couldn't do it all by himself.
Okay, now let's listen to the beginning of your discussions with Mr. Blake.
Well, we were very impressed by your presentation, Mr. Blake. Your robots are very competitive.
I'm glad you think so, Ms. Graham. We plan to be very aggressive selling them in North America.
I'm sure you'll be very successful. However, that brings me to my main concern.
Yes?
There's no doubt that your robots are well engineered, and the price is quite low, very reasonable.But it's the other details that worry me.
You mean about service and support?
Exactly. After-sales service and support are very important, too.
接下来请听我们结束同 Graham 女士的这次访谈。
So you had your doubts about Mr. Blake's ability to provide after-sales support and service.
I wasn't sure if his company could provide those services. I was responsible for both the construction and the operation of the new plant. I didn't want things to go wrong, either before or after the plant began operation.
I see. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we have a question about negotiations. The question is, when I'm negotiating with Americans, I'm not always sure that I understand their proposals. What should I do to be sure I understand?
Good question. In negotiations, two people will sometimes think that they understand each other. Later, they discover that they didn't really understand.
What can they do to avoid that?
Well, good negotiators ask a lot of questions to check their understanding, and they often restate what the other person has said.
Restate?
Yes, they say it again with different words. They confirm the information.
Okay, so let's say someone wants to sell you a product. You think the price is $50, but you're not sure. What can you say?
You can restate the idea and say, So, you will sell them to us at $50 each. Is that right? Or you can ask a direct question, like, Do you mean you will sell them to us at $50 each?
And the other person will say something like, Yes, that's right, or No, that's not right.
Exactly. And then you know whether or not you've understood the person correctly.
Thanks, Gary, for the important information. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
My team has worked really hard, and they deserve a pay increase.
I agree that they have worked hard, but our profits are down from last year. We can't afford a pay increase.
So are you saying that there isn't enough money?
I'm saying that top management is going to oppose any permanent increase in expenses.
What if the expense were for this year only?
You mean like a bonus that would be paid only once?
Yes, in other words, a one-time only bonus.
That would be much more acceptable.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about confirming understanding. In a business discussion or negotiation, it is often necessary to restate or clarify your position or the other person's position. This will help you confirm your understanding. Let's look at some useful expressions from today's business dialogue.
My team has worked really hard and they deserve a pay increase.
I agree that they have worked hard, but our profits are down from last year. We can't afford a pay increase.
So are you saying that there isn't enough money?
Wallace uses the expression, so you are saying, to confirm his understanding. And Margaret then restates her idea more clearly using the expression, I'm saying.
I'm saying that top management is going to oppose any permanent increase in expenses.
This conversation provides excellent examples of both people working hard to understand each other's position. And as they talk, they begin to agree. When Wallace suggests a one-time only payment, Margaret confirms her understanding using the expression, you mean.
What if the expense were for this year only?
You mean like a bonus that would be paid only once?
Yes, in other words, a one-time only bonus.
That would be much more acceptable.
By confirming understanding and restating each other's position, they reach some agreement.
第三课我们重点学习怎样表示承认对方所说的某一点有道理。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Hello, Charles.
Hello.
In your business lunch with Ms. Graham, she expressed concerns about after-sales service and support.
That's right. And she was worried that we didn't have any warehouses in the United States.
Warehouses?
Yes, warehouses to provide spare parts for our industrial robots. You see, Ms. Graham already had a good working relationship with an American company.
You mean United Industries, right?
That's right. And United Industries had warehouses in California. So she was nervous about doing business with a new company.
Especially with a company based outside the United States.
Exactly.
Well, let's listen to more of your conversation at the restaurant.
Good idea.
As Mr. Epstein has told you, we have a good relationship with United Industries. And we know we can depend on them. On the other hand, your company has no facilities nearby, not even a warehouse for spare parts. That makes me very nervous.
I understand. As I told Mike, I'm sure we can work out a satisfactory arrangement. For example, we can send you spare parts ahead of time.
I appreciate that, Mr. Blake, but we don't want to warehouse spare parts here. It's just asking for trouble. And it also adds to our cost.
Yes, I see your point.
Oh, here's our food. Why don't we take a break for a moment?
As Mr. Epstein has told you, as Mr. Epstein has told you, we have a good relationship with United Industries. On the other hand, your company has no facilities nearby. As I told Mike, I'm sure we can work out a satisfactory arrangement. I appreciate that, but we don't want to warehouse spare parts here. I see that Ms. Graham raised the issue of spare parts.
That's right. Providing spare parts is an important part of after-sales service.
And she was concerned that your company didn't have local warehouses for spare parts.
That's true, but I proposed that we send her additional spare parts. That way they could have spare parts on hand whenever they needed them.
I see. Well, thank you for being with us again today.
It's been my pleasure.
We'll be back with Culture Tips after a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Gary, our email question today is about beginning a negotiation. Our question is, sometimes I have trouble starting negotiations with Americans. What should I do?
Well, the first important thing to do is to focus on common ground.
Common ground?
Yes, common ground is an interest which you both share. For example,You may want to buy a high-quality piece of equipment from Company X. You want to buy it, they want to sell it. That's common ground.
That is a good way to start.
The second thing is to be very honest about any problems you see. For example, you may want to buy their product, but it may be too expensive. First, you can say that they have an excellent product, and then state your problem about the price.For example, you can say, There's no doubt that your product is excellent. However, the price is too high for us. After you have stated your position clearly, you have to encourage the other side to state their position clearly, too. Probably the best advice I can give you is to be honest at all times. Being honest will allow you to build long-term relationships. These relationships will help you in future negotiations.
Thanks for the excellent advice, Gary.
My pleasure.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue. Jennifer is trying to convince her boss, Joe, to buy new computers for the office.
The computers we have now are 3 years old. They're so slow that we can't get any work done.
Jennifer, of course I understand your concerns, but...
Joe, they're more than concerns. These are big complaints. We can't get our work done because the computers are so slow.
Jennifer, there's no doubt in my mind that you are right, but we just don't have the money for new computers.
Joe, if we don't get some new computers soon, we'll lose business.
You have a good point, Jennifer, but...
Joe, we're falling behind in our work, and our customers are not receiving their orders on time.
That is very serious. I want to assure you that I understand what you have said.
But what are you going to do about it?
Okay, I'll talk to the boss one more time.
Thanks, Joe. I knew you'd understand.
Gary 提示.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about conceding a point as part of a negotiation. When you are in a negotiation, you want to establish common ground. Often, this means conceding some parts of the other side's position. In today's business dialogue, Joe recognizes that many of Jennifer's points are correct. One expression he uses is, "I understand your concerns."
The computers we have now are 3 years old. They're so slow that we can't get any work done.
Jennifer, of course I understand your concerns, but...
Joe also uses other expressions to make concessions. For example, "You have a good point." Let's listen again.
Jennifer, there's no doubt in my mind that you are right, but we just don't have the money for new computers.
Joe, if we don't get some new computers soon, we'll lose business.
You have a good point, Jennifer, but...
Joe, we're falling behind in our work, and our customers are not receiving their orders on time.
Even though Joe is conceding a point, he follows each concession with the word but. He lets Jennifer know that he understands her position, even if he can do nothing about it. Focusing on understanding is a good strategy in negotiations. He says,
"I want to assure you that I understand what you have said."
In Mr. Blake's conversation with Ms. Graham, Mr. Blake also shows that he understands Ms. Graham's position. First, he uses the expression, "I understand," when Ms. Graham says she is nervous.
"That makes me very nervous."
"I understand."
Then he uses the expression, "I see your point."
"It's just asking for trouble, and it also adds to our cost."
"Yes, I see your point."
Mr. Blake builds trust by showing that he understands Ms. Graham's concerns. And a sense of trust is essential to any negotiation. I hope today's tips were helpful. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
这次的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下星期再见。For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
下面为您播报这一时段的国际新闻。 美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期天表示，美国准备好支持、推进和参与阿富汗政府与塔利班的直接谈判。同一天，阿富汗总统加尼宣布了一项新的停火计划的细节。蓬佩奥在一份声明中说，美国欢迎阿富汗政府宣布在塔利班参与的条件下的停火计划。这项计划是对阿富汗人民明确和继续要求和平做出的回应。声明还说，阿富汗前一次的停火展现了阿富汗人民要求结束冲突的深切愿望。我们希望再一次停火能将这个国家进一步达至持久的安全。星期天早些时候，加尼宣布政府单方面有条件与塔利班停火3个月。几个小时之前，当局证实这个伊斯兰主义反叛武装侵入了北部一个地区，并显然俘虏了几十名政府军士兵。加尼说，政府军星期一将停止军事行动，条件是反叛分子也采取对等的行动，尊重他提出的停火计划。这次停火正值世界各地穆斯林人庆祝古尔邦节之时。穆斯林人每年这个时候到圣城麦加朝圣，纪念先知易卜拉欣向真主安拉献祭的事件。针对加尼做出的停火建议，塔利班没有立即做出回应。在另外一方面，来自世界各地大约200万穆斯林已经在伊斯兰最神圣的地点沙特阿拉伯的麦加开始了一年一度的朝圣活动。朝圣者星期天围绕着麦加大寺院中心的方形圣堂逆时针行走，开始了今年为期5天的朝圣活动。穆斯林人认为，先知亚布拉辛在那里修建了他的第一座寺院。世界各地的穆斯林会面朝麦加圣堂，每天做5次祷告。在朝圣期间，虔诚的穆斯林人会举行一系列的宗教仪式，除了围绕圣堂行走之外，他们还会喝被认为具有治愈效果的来自肾肾泉的碱水，并举行向恶魔投石的象征性的仪式。麦加朝圣是伊斯兰信仰5大支柱之一，所有力所能及的穆斯林人一生中应至少一次参与朝圣。沙特阿拉伯主管相关事务的部门敦促朝圣者注意安全，以免发生往年出现过的致命的踩踏事件。2015年米纳市在举行朝圣活动时发生的踩踏事件导致2400多人死亡。沙特有关部门星期天敦促兄弟姐妹朝圣者注意各项仪式的时间，以免出现过于拥挤的危险。几十名年迈的韩国人星期天聚集在朝韩边界，准备与居住在朝鲜的家庭成员团聚。这是3年多来朝韩首轮家庭团聚的一部分。超过57000名韩国人已经登记，希望与居住在朝鲜的亲人会面，但是只有93人被选中参与星期一开始在朝鲜旅游胜地金刚山举行的最新一轮的短暂家庭团聚。朝鲜方面只有88人被允许参加这次团聚。在未来3天内，亲属们将在朝鲜当局人员的注视下举行6次面对面的团聚。自从2000年以来，双方只安排了20次亲人团聚活动，上一次团聚是在2015年的10月。数以百万计的朝鲜家庭被1950至1953年的朝鲜战争拆散，分开50多年后，许多等待与亲人团聚的人已经去世，依然在世的许多人已经年过80岁。一些韩裔美国人也在最渴望与家人团聚的人之列，但他们从来没有被纳入团聚的计划当中。韩国官员曾经试图将韩裔美国家庭纳入星期一开始的韩朝家庭团聚计划，但被平壤当局拒绝。在另外一方面，台湾总统蔡英文在中南美友邦同庆之旅出访行程中，8月18、19日过境美国南部城市休斯顿。好的，各位听众，以上就是这一时段的国际新闻，感谢您的收听，也请您继续关注接下来为您准备的节目。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视8月15号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。美中贸易战轮番升级，世界上两个最大的经济体展开了全面的厮杀，华盛顿步步紧逼，改变子弹乱飞的这个策略，矛头单指中国。北京仓促应战，经历了最初的错乱和动摇，似乎现在呢已确定了打一场持久战的决心。贸易战打到目前这个境地，有人说中国股市汇市遭到重创，民心涣散，已经显露出败象。但也有人说呢，川普政府缺乏长远规划，将被中国以拖代变的这个战略击败。那么美中经济对抗目前谁占了上风？中国期待以战求和，美国会不会妥协？贸易战如果变成持久战，那谁又将最后胜出呢？我们时事大家谈今天呢，就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一道来探讨这些问题。在美国波士顿通过视频连线参加节目的是美国独立学者、时评人蓝洋先生。蓝先生你好。
你好。
在中国上海呢，通过电话连线加入访谈的是财经作家叶檀，财经创始人叶檀博士。叶博士您好。
你好。My camera down.
好，我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话来参加我们节目讨论，号码是400-120-0551，400-120-0551。另外呢，您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。这个美中贸易战呢，显然是美国精心发起，中国呢在仓促的这个应战。那么川普政府称贸易战的要害是实施公平贸易，而北京却认为呢这个贸易战的实质呢是美国单边主义和贸易霸凌。那么我来请教美国波士顿的蓝洋先生，您如何看待这个美中贸易冲突的这个实质呢？
在我看来，这应该是多年来中美贸易不公平的一个结果。这种不公平的状态其实并不仅仅是一个定价问题，也不是一个不仅仅是一个海关关税的问题，它根本的根源是两个不同的价值体系所制造出来的这个价值和产品它的这个差异造成的。所以坦率地说，我倒不认为关税战提高关税或者降低关税能根本地解决这两个国家之间贸易不公平的问题。而美国今天现在我们看到川普总统他希望通过关税来迫使中国来降低他的关税和减少对美国的出口，这样一个目标能否达成，我还是很怀疑的。
好的，那么一会儿呢，我向您请教，您为什么会怀疑这个美国川普总统这个目标？那么美国表示呢，说解决美中贸易冲突的根本出路呢，是中国改变产业政策和贸易行为。我来请教这个上海的叶檀博士啊，中国朝野如何看待美方的要求？您对此又有什么评论呢，叶博士？
我相信，从一开始，其实，在刚打贸易战的时候，大家经历了一个错乱和慌乱的时间。那么，贸易战打到现在呢，确实是一个持久战的时间。基本上要采用什么样的对策也是比较清晰的。尽管内部还是有争论，然后左右派也是不一样，但是我们已经看到相应的对策是比较清晰的。那从现在来看的话，美中贸易战打到现在为止的话，双方能出的牌，然后双方可以承受的压力，它是不一样的。那么从我们撇开价值观这一块来说的话，我认为中美贸易战肯定是会打的，不管是现在或者说是推迟两年，这场贸易战一定会打。它原因就在于说， 整个贸易或者是货币的不平衡。我们知道美国的逆差是非常高，那么从最新的宏观经济数据来看的话呢，中国的进出口没有太大的变化，它美国这边的逆差也没有太大的好转，也就是说贸易战打到现在为止的话，对于美国那边的想要消除逆差的影响不会太大。但是呢，在这个贸易战里头，确实对于中国两方面造成的影响。第一个方面是我们看到货币方面造成影响，人民币对美元是在大幅下降的过程当中，并且对于其他的新兴货币，我们看到像土耳其里拉，或者是接下来估计会对越南盾或者是东南亚的货币都造成了很大的影响，已经接近于崩溃的边缘。那么第二个这个影响呢，就是对于我们的市场，尤其是我去看中国的制造业，有一些中低端的制造业现在的日子是相当的难过的，也就是说对于中国的某些企业已经造成了影响。但是从本质上来说，只要逆差存在，只要这个货币不平衡，那么这个贸易战一定会打。就像上世纪50年代开始美国跟日本打贸易战是同一个道理。
好的，那么
现在中国，
请讲，请继续讲，
现在中国跟美国之间，那么从经济和资金上来说，它的不平衡跟上世纪50年代开始美国和日本之间的不平衡是一样的，而且是更不平衡。因为当时虽然日本发展很快，那么外汇储备很多，但是日本总体来说它的体量比较小，产业链不是那么健全。但是中国国内有14亿人口，相对来说产业链比较健全，它一旦建立起完整的产业链的话，对于美国的高科技和资金方面的溢价会造成比较严重的打击。所以在我看来，这场贸易战迟早是有一打。
好的，那么我刚才接着这个蓝先生您刚才的评论呢，我接着问蓝先生一个问题。您认为好像川普总统用提升关税这种办法其实并不能解决根本的问题，为什么这样说？
刚才叶檀女士提到了贸易战对中国的货币还有很多的产业产生了很多消极的影响，这个是绝对会我是完全同意的。可是问题他们所制定的政治战略来说，甚至于是可以叫做顺水推舟，甚至于可以说可以说是可以帮他们实现更好的全面控制。这是我认为即使中国经济受到影响，产业受到影响，货币受到影响，但是中国的这个贸易战的打下去的决心以及他打赢的可能性并的这个几率并不会减少，
好的，
并不会因此而减少。
好的，那么我们再向叶檀博士来请教，就是刚才呢，这个蓝先生提到这个问题，就是说呢，好像只是用关税这种手段，美国总统川普呢，不要这个指望能够改变这个中国的模式，改变中国的贸易行为。那么我向叶女士、叶博士请教这样一个问题啊，就是美国呢现在强烈要求呢中国要改变产业政策，改变它的贸易行为，您觉得这个中国会在这方面做出让步吗？
中国会在这方面做出让步，事实上也已经在这方面做出了一些尝试。我们可以看两个方面啊。第一个方面是在实体经济方面，比如说像最近我们知道美国有一家大企业有可能会到中国的上海投资，就是特斯拉。 那么他这个到上海投资的话，他会突破原来的一些政策和一些框架来做这件事情，所以特斯拉在上海的投资是值得密切关注的。我们可以知道中国的政策可以突破到哪一步。那么另外一方面，我们也看到像最近中国总理李克强到欧洲到德国去访问，那么在德国跟中国的长城汽车跟宝马公司也有一个合作。以前的合作基本上是汽车公司合资企业，那么中方是控股的。现在呢，从现在报道的情况来看，双方是50%对50%的股权，这也可以视作中方在尝试这方面，尤其是高科技高端制造的引进方面做出一些让步。那么还有一个让步呢是比较关键的，就是在金融领域。金融领域的话，不管是保险啊还是基金，现在来看的话，5到8年内有可能都会允许外资来进行控股某些金融机构。当然它还是有门槛，比如说资本金这方面的门槛都有，但是这些让步在以前来说是不可想象的。当然会有人说这样的让步有可能谁知道5年之后怎么样，是不是真的能够做到。但是据我了解的话，有些外资已经提出了这些控股的需求，也就是说大家如果是当真的事情去做的话，说不定就有一些推动。那么从现在来看的话，中美双方打到现在，对于中国是不是有毁灭性打击，这个是不可能的。因为我们从宏观经济数据就可以看得到这一点，7月份中国的GDP CPI 包括进出口的数据虽然稍微有点波动，还是整体稳定在一定的范围之内。比如说这个对美国的进出口，包括对日本的出口有可能对欧盟的出口有可能下降，但是对日本的出口在增加。所以我认为总体的进出口不会发生非常大的变化，但是国别会不一样。以前像美国进口的多，有可能现在像其他国家进口的比较多。
好的，那么现在我们有大量的网评进来，来回应两位专家的这个看法啊，给大家选读，然后我们接电话。首先是 Behold 的李，他说贸易战没有赢家，只能是双输，就看哪方输得多寡的问题了。显然中国的确得承认很多科学技术方面不如美国，别提厉害了我的国，应该谦虚一些，多鼓励创新人才，为长远发展做打算，不能总是看眼前的利益。房地产来钱快就觉得其他都是浮云，还是社会太浮躁了，能静下心来搞研发的人实在是太少了。艾德超他说，中美贸易战的爆发正值中国经济去杠杆的关键时期，经济下滑与通胀压力都已经显现，特别是资产泡沫的破裂，中国可能陷入长期的经济困境。他请问叶檀女士一个问题，普通中产阶层在困局当中如何保住现有的资产，人民币大幅贬值的预期是怎么样的？好的，我们现在接两个电话，然后呢，我请叶檀女士呢回应我们这位这个网友的这个问题。首先是福建的叶先生，叶先生你好。
就是让特斯拉到上海来投资啊，这个钱其实都是上海市政府出的，其实只是要用债务套住特斯拉，最后把特斯拉给吞掉，让特斯拉变成中国的企业。所以根本不存在任何的让步。从上周这个央行表态不干预汇率来讲，这个我的这个贬值加仿制的这个策略啊，习主席已经完全采纳了。有习主席这样的非凡统帅。
好的，谢谢您啊，谢谢您，上海的唐先生，谢谢您。下一位是辽宁的孙先生，孙先生你好。
主持人好，嘉宾好。我看的话，中美贸易战的实质在于的话，美国，过于自私。比方说是戴院长，美国是现在的话，哪有多少企业，他他妈是需要靠外资，扩张才能的话，就说是运转美国。现在的话，当前最主要的形势，美国的话就说是没有的话。就说是应该承认美国是核心技术和高新技术的话占主导地位，但是不能以无赖的手法用军事扩张给的话就是全世界人民带来灾难。
好的，谢谢。
像薅羊毛似的，连小的国家。
好，谢谢。
小的国家。
谢谢辽宁的孙先生，我们理解您的观点了。辽宁孙先生实际上指出呢，还是就是美国的贸易霸凌主义，中国官方的观点。那么我首先呢，我来请蓝洋先生您来回应一下辽宁孙先生的观点好吗？
这个问题其实很简单，就是说什么叫做霸凌，什么叫做公平。
嗯，
那么公平贸易美国在过去20年里面对华贸易每年都是巨额的赤字，而且这个赤字不断的增加。在这种情况下，作为一个国家，它必须要考虑我和这个国家做生意到底这个赤字是因为什么造成的。
嗯，
那么同时我们去看关税，我们会看到美国对中国汽车的关税大概对其他的汽车关税只有不到5%，4%吧。然后但是中国的关税达到了20%以上。那么这个时候很明显确实是有个不公平在存在在里面。
好的，
好的，
好的。那么我来请教这个叶檀女士啊，叶博士。刚才呢，我们听众有一位网友呢，他提出这样的一个问题，就是他向您提出这样一个问题：普通中产阶层在目前这困局当中，如何能保住现有资产？特别是人民币大幅贬值，有没有这种可能？
这位网友其实提出的问题是大家非常焦虑的一个问题。第一个就是人民币大幅贬值是不是有可能？其实这位网友也应该看到，人民币对美元从6.2左右，然后现在下跌了，下跌到6.8，甚至会更低到7，已经是一个大幅贬值过程了。也就是说，从今年的大概是，尤其是五六月份之后的话，人民币是一个大贬值。如果您这个时候手上是全部持有人民币的话，那么它如果转换成美元资产，你应该已经有10%。甚至如果用杠杆的话，应该是更多的亏损。那么在这种时候，经济又在转型，又在打贸易战，到底该怎么保持增值？大家都很关心这个问题。以前在国内投资的话，大家是不进行外币资产配置的，也就是说只要持有人民币就行了，不用持有美元跟这个避险货币，比如说日元、欧元这些避险货币。但是我们现在应该看到，在打贸易战的过程当中，也是一个人民币逐渐国际化的过程，所以一定要持有一些避险货币，尤其是像同时持有人民币和美元，这个是比较必要的。另外一个，在国内的话，现在这个股市跟房地产都比较风雨飘摇，那么在这个时候持有一些不会倒的资产，或者是持有行业龙头企业的不断上升的这些龙头企业的股票是比较好的。那如果你用美元的话，也可以考虑美元的一些，因为美国的房地产上涨很快，美元的房地产资产以及美国的债券，这个是可以考虑
的。好
的，
那么我们接着我们问题的讨论啊，在贸易战轮番升级这个过程中呢，我们看到这个美中双方的战略和策略也在不断的发生改变。我首先再问蓝先生啊，中国方面对美国川普政府啊有一个最大的抱怨，就是说他缺乏诚信，不守信用，您如何看待这个问题呢？
中国政府他认为美国川普总统不守信这个问题，问题在于，其实美国是一个法治的国家，并不是川普总统一个人说了算的，包括很多贸易政策的制定，甚至于也不是就是说在川普政府内部，他的顾问班子里面，他也要听从各方面不同的意见。有不同的所以说你说川普不公平，我倒不觉得说这完全是川普个人的意志，但是川普他的班子确实是有倾向性的，是他的顾问经济顾问班子在美国传统的经济学领域是比较边缘化的经济学家，但是我们也可以看到，就是说重要的是，川普这样的战略呢，对，我认为对中国的 贸易和经济并不会造成实质性的致命的损害。
嗯，
我并不认为是这样子的。
好的，那我来请教叶女士啊，就是外界评论说中共高层现在呢，刚才您也提过这个问题了，经过最初的这个错乱和彷徨呢，现在已经下决心要打一场持久战了，与美国周旋到底。那叶博士，您再给我们这个进一步说明一下，您如何看待中国政府这个决心呢？
我认为这个决心还是蛮大的。因为在一开始确实我认为大概没有预料到川普的贸易战来势这么凶猛，然后一开始有点措手不及。那现在打到现在这个阶段的话，大家已经看清楚大概双方的贸易战会是一个什么样的结果，所以呢在几个方面已经做出了决策。第一个方面的话，我们知道我们到底是要保人民币汇率还是要保外汇储备，这一点是非常明确的，我们还是要保外汇储备的。人民币汇率呢确实跌涨这个没有太大的关系，只要是不跌破警戒线就可以了。那么另外一方面呢，我们是不是要对外开放，在跟美国打贸易战的同时对欧盟啊日本啊更加开放，要嵌入到全球的产业链里边去，这个是肯定毫无疑问一定会这么做，否则的话中国就会从产业链里边给被剔除出来。然后第三个其实是我们国内比较担心的一个事情，但是呢在国外其实大家关注的比较少，也就是说中国现在经济转型要不要收房产税这一点的话，其实大家国内很关心，因为中国居民的70%的财富呈现方式都是房地产，如果一旦征房产税的话，对国内的金融会造成非常大的影响。还有一个就是大家比较焦虑的，因为现在有一些泡沫破灭的现象，那么有一些企业呢融资是比较困难的，这就造成一些大企业在不断的并购，那中小企业的日子比较难过。如果是这些大企业寡头化或者是国企非常盛行的话，是不是会对中国经济造成非常大的负面影响，这一点其实是我们比较关注的。反过来说，从最近的宏观数据来说，跟中美之间的贸易战对于中国贸易会不会有毁灭性的打击，从现在的数据来看应该还不至于。
好的，我们现在来继续接电话，听听听众观众朋友们的想法。广西的彭先生，彭先生你好。
你好，我觉得现在的态势是双方都没有退让的表现，就是持久战的话是在所难免。刚才叶檀女士她所采集的数据是采七月份的那个数据啊，没有太大波动，但是说我认为这一场贸易战的那个影响对中国经济的影响非常深远的。
嗯，
因为中国所谓三驾马车啊是拉动这个经济的主要的那个动力，现在三驾马车已经缺了一条，然后还剩下的那些消费也不是很正啊，人家那些钱都被套到房地产的老百姓的那个资产，完了以后那个消费是不正的。然后还有一个就是说那个基建的那些也不行了。现在我觉得那个长久来看，中国是必败无疑。
好的，谢谢。
而且还有一点就是，他这场战争没有半点的正当性，啊，我认为他没有正当性，因为他在世贸组织常做的那些承诺，他自己可以看一下，全世界的老百姓、全世界人民都可以看一下他做了什么承诺，他履行了承诺没有？因此他没有正当性。谢谢。
好，谢谢广西彭先生您的评论。下一位是青海的孙先生，孙先生你好。
哎，你好，许波。就是我们作为平头老百姓啊，我们不在乎中美贸易战谁对谁错，谁输谁赢，谁高谁下，我们就在乎我们能得到什么好处。
嗯，
这个到目前为止呢，现在汇率现在是跌了，然后包括进口的一些物品呢是啊，价格涨了，但是我就不知道打到最后，甭管是输是赢，我们老百姓能不能拿到什么好处？
嗯，
哎，我就这么个观点。
好的，
谢
谢青海孙先生。今天我们时事大家谈讨论呢，到这里就结束了啊。时间关系，不能一一接听听众观众朋友们的电话，以及回答网友提出的所有问题。感谢这个 感谢蓝洋先生和叶檀女士、叶檀博士参加我们节目。时事大家谈呢是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈关注热点话题：中共治下的新疆是维稳模范呢，还是人权炼狱？好，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。